Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word of God for our meditation is recorded in Mark chapter 13, beginning at verse 32, and I will be reading from the ESV translation. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or when the cock crows or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, do you have trouble staying awake in class? Maybe you have an early morning class that is hard to stay awake for. One of my 8 a.m. Greek professors would call me Eutychus, after the man in the book of Acts who fell asleep during Paul's lengthy sermon and fell out of the window of a third-story building. Or maybe you have trouble staying awake during your afternoon classes, especially since daylight savings time ended. Not staying awake can have serious consequences. If you oversleep and miss class, you get an unexcused absence and miss assignments and quizzes, lowering your grade. If you fall asleep during class, you may miss information that'll show up on a test or a quiz. Even more serious consequences result from spiritual slumber, not being awake or alert for the return of Christ. Do we, as we say in the Creed, look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come? Do we expect Christ to return at any moment, or will he find us sleeping when he returns? He warns us to stay awake. No one knows the time. Therefore, be on guard, lest he find you sleeping. Stay awake. No one knows the time. Jesus says concerning that day or that hour, no one knows. Over the centuries, many have asked, when will Christ return? Here Jesus gives a clear and direct answer. No one knows. In fact, he says no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. What a statement. Angels are the foremost invisible creatures who serve God in heaven and his believers here on earth. They will accompany Jesus when he returns on the last day, but they don't know when that day will be. Most startling is Jesus' statement, nor the Son. Jesus is here speaking in a state of humiliation. To carry out his saving work, he willingly laid aside and did not always make full use of the knowledge or power that he has as true God. It was not part of the Son's work to reveal the exact date of his second coming. In fact, that would have been spiritually dangerous for us. The fact that the time is unknown is for our good. Because of the deep sinfulness of our nature, even the most devout Christian would likely become lax if we knew the time. Knowing the time of Jesus' second coming could lead otherwise serious believers to moral carelessness, inactive faith, and neglect of the means of grace. A map of the future would be a hindrance, not a help to our faith. Stay awake, be on guard. This same phrase, be on guard, is used over and over again in Mark chapter 13. It is like a red traffic light that tells us to stop and think. It is a warning not to follow the false teachers, the imposters who will come claiming to be Christ. It is a warning not to fall away when experiencing persecution for the sake of believing in Jesus. It is a warning not to be deceived by false Christs and false prophets who will perform seeming miracles to try to deceive, if possible, even the elect. We are to keep our eyes open, rather, to look around and keep observing, not to be caught unawares. We are to be alert to the signs that point to Jesus' second coming, such as wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes and famines, widespread lawlessness, and the preaching of the gospel to all nations. To be on guard means to look for the Lord, to be ready at any time to receive him at his coming. That means to look to him in faith and trust. Only those who cling to Jesus as their Savior are ready for his coming. Be on guard may be translated watch and pray. These words echo Jesus' warning in the Garden of Gethsemane, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. In an episode of Seinfeld, George takes pity on a security guard in a store who has to stand for his entire shift. And so he brings him a comfortable chair to sit in. The guard falls asleep in the chair, and the store gets robbed. We all know someone at work who sleeps on the job. He comes in, punches the clock, finds his chair, and does his time. Satan tempts us Christians to see our Christian lives in the same way. We punch in at the baptismal font, we find our pew, and do our time until we punch out of this life. All the while, we are content to sleep. We think little about Christ's return because we're so caught up in the things of this world. Besides, Christ hasn't come yet, so he probably won't come in our lifetime, we think. We don't really want to be disturbed anyway. And so we sleepwalk through the liturgy, only appearing to be awake, mouthing the words with little thought of what we're saying. And then we grumble that the sermon or the hymns are too long. We grow tired of waiting for Christ to return, and then we give up waiting. He'll never come, we think. It's been nearly 2,000 years since he left. But in Luke 21, Jesus warns, be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap, for it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. In order that we are not caught off guard when Jesus returns, Jesus sends us his Holy Spirit to help us be on guard. The Holy Spirit works through the Word and sacraments to revive our drooping souls and drowsy spirits when Satan threatens to lull us into spiritual sleep. Through baptism, the Holy Spirit awakens faith in our hearts and unites us to Jesus' death and resurrection. He keeps us watchful by leading us in living the baptismal life of dying to the sins which cause us to drift off into spiritual sleep and to rise to new life in Christ. And when we do fall asleep, Jesus doesn't leave us lying there, but comes to us and wakes us up, calling us with the good news that our sins are forgiven for Christ's sake. He renews our strength with the words of absolution, assuring us that our sins truly are forgiven. And then he whets our appetite for Christ's coming by giving us a foretaste of the heavenly feast of victory in the Lord's Supper. Jesus says again at the close of our text, stay awake. As Christians, we are to be constantly awaiting our Lord's return. But that does not mean that we are living in fear. Jesus promises in Luke 21, now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. Christ will return in glory one day to fulfill his promise to deliver us, body and soul, to heaven. His return means the fulfillment of our redemption, deliverance from the sin-filled dying world, deliverance from pain and suffering, from disease and decay, and from all conflicts and persecutions, deliverance from all Satan's plots to shake our faith. This will be far better than anything we have in this world. Jesus promises, surely I am coming quickly. In joyful anticipation of that last day, we watch and we pray. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.